our soul. And the title of this sermon is The Sin of Silence. And the scripture is 1 John 1:9. And I would like for you to say it with me, please. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so what we are going to be learning today is how important confession is. And I hope at the end of this sermon, you have a greater understanding of the power of the confession of our sin. Now, if you have watched television such as Law and Order or any show that has anything to do with the law, you have heard these several sentences often. You have the right to remain silent. Anything can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. And if you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided for you. Do you understand your rights? You're all under arrest this morning. No. But you've heard that. You've heard that it is your right. These are your rights to have an attorney and to remain silent. But where, and this is known as what? What do you know that as? What I just read to you. What is it called? Miranda, right. The Miranda rights. And so where does that Mirandize? Where does it come from? Well, ironically, one of the victims of the Miranda opinion was Ernesto Miranda himself. The name came and happened in the 60s. Ernesto Miranda was a kidnapper and a rapist, and he was had signed a confession after he had been arrested, but his rights had not been read to him, and there wasn't a clarity of spoken between him and the law enforcement that he had a clear understanding of his rights. And so it went all the way to the Supreme Court. It was a very famous case, and his conviction was overturned, and he had to go to trial again. He was convicted of these crimes, and he spent the minimum sentence of being a kidnapper and rapist. And when he was released, oddly enough, he was in Phoenix, Arizona, in a bar in 1976, and he was stabbed to death. Now, the person who was responsible for that stabbing and for his killing was arrested, and this person was ready to confess. But he was read his rights and chose to remain silent, and oh, guess what? He was never convicted of that crime. And isn't it ironic that the Mirandize, that very person for which this was named after, it came back and in a bad way for him. So we know that it is our civil right and privilege of civil law that we have the right to remain silent. But as children of God, being a part of the kingdom of God, it is not so. In fact, it violates our spiritual laws. We civilly, maybe so, that is something that we have as a right, but spiritually not so, because the Bible makes it very clear and plain that confession is good for the soul. Our sin, one way or another, will be found out. Number one, God already knows. He sees. He knows. He's very aware. But the truth of the matter is that we all have our faults and we all sin. We said in our verse today, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And then in verse 10, it says that if we say that we have not sinned, then we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's pretty powerful. So, everyone has sinned. All of the well-known characters in the Bible have sinned. Moses sinned. He killed an Egyptian. Abraham, David, and Peter sinned. Peter denied Christ three times. They all sinned, but they overcame that sin in and through following the principle of confessing that sin. So I want to share with you today how Christians need to deal with their sins so that you do not have the horns of guilt and shame constantly goring you, and so that you are not paralyzed by the poison of sin in your life. Because you need to realize and have a greater understanding that there does not need to be any room for sin in our lives because of the deception and the evilness of our enemy, Satan. So, there are four things that I want to share with you. Number one, express your failure or confess your sin. Express, tell, be willing, and that requires humility. The Bible says, if we confess our sins. Now, the word confess here is in present tense, which means that that is something that we continually do. It isn't a one-time occurrence. It is ongoing. We should, at the end of our day, examine our hearts of how well did we do today. God, show me where I have sinned. And we are so subtle and easy excusing and explaining away when we do wrong. We may not even be aware, but I promise you, if you ask God to show you your heart, he will. Now, there are some who teach that we don't need to ask for forgiveness because we've already been forgiven. But biblically, that is not correct, because people need to understand that there is a difference between a judicial pardon from a judge and a parental forgiveness from a father. In one sense, yes, we have been forgiven of our sin when we ask Jesus Christ into our life. We are restored unto God, and that sin that is a singular, it has to do with your identity, your position, and we are put in right standing with God. And at that point, yes, we are forgiven, but it is a point in time, and it continues. And this word says that if we confess our sins, which is plural. Okay, and there is a difference, because when we become a Christian, we are not immediately made perfect. We are put in right standing. We are justified, and our relationship is reconciled with God, because it says that our sin separates us from God. But then that old nature, it has been renewed. We are a new creation in Christ. But the Bible says that we have to renew our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And that is a process. And that is what has to be retrained. And so we need to be forgiven. And we sin. And when we do, we must confess our sin to God so that we can be forgiven. And I know it sounds a little confusing, but stay with me here, because this whole entire concept has to do with our position and what position that we are holding. And it needs to be a position of humility. And I am convinced that there are many Christians who are living in defeat almost every day simply because they do not know how to deal with sin in their life. We are afraid of that. God created and designed community and his word and the ability for us to confess in order to deal with our sin. And if we would be willing to do that and allow ourselves to be held accountable and for our lives to be spoken into, we wouldn't struggle so much with our sin. Now, amen, yes. You think about, it's happened a long time ago, but Jimmy Swaggart. If he would have had the ability and had been filled with fear or pride, and had the ability to confess, I have this issue, and be held accountable, do you think he would have fallen as hard as he did? And the same is with Jim and Tammy Baker or anyone else, that we cannot be elevated up on a pedestal. We have to be real and honest with God and with the body of Christ, and we're afraid and ashamed for others to know that we struggle. But let's face it, we all do we not? We all have weaknesses. We all struggle with that. And there is only one way to deal with sin, and that is to confess sin and to confess it properly. And there is only one type of sin that can defeat you as a Christian, and that is unconfessed sin, the hidden sin. And if you have hidden sin, be very aware you are in a dangerous place, because you have opened the door wide up for the enemy. You do not want to give the devil a foothold in unconfessed or hidden sin. Because what happens is that puts you in a position for more deception. And the more you're deceived, the more you're going to sin. And it is a downward spiral. When we confess our sin, we are putting ourselves in the light. We're putting ourselves in the light of God's holy presence. We are to come into the light and to confess that sin and hold it up to God's word, which is the truth. And it is through that light and truth then that we have the ability. It puts us in a position for God to do something. Because if you'll go on and read in 1 John, it says that we walk in the light as he is in the light, so that we can what? Have fellowship with one another. See, God values the community of faith greatly. And there is a reason for this. And I know that I'm way off and you're wondering where I am and when you're going to pop up, but not yet. Not yet. There were just lots of things I needed to say. So we need to understand confession. And we must understand, in order to understand what it means of how important confession is, you need to understand what does that word actually mean. And in the original Greek, the word confession literally means to say the same. It means to say the same. Confession means to call sin as God calls sin. In other words, through the eyes of God, how God sees sin. God sees sin as something that he cannot tolerate. He is a holy God, okay? And it says our sin is what separates us from God. And so confession is more than admitting sin, because you can admit sin. You can be sorry for getting caught all day long. But confession is so much more than that. It means that we agree with God's perspective. It means that we realize that we have a holy God and we are brokenhearted and we are grievousome over the fact that we have sinned against God, because that's where the sin is directed, is against God, okay? And it also sins against the body of Christ. And we need to realize that, people, of why it is so important. And when you realize that we have a holy God, then there should be great sorrow in the fact when we sin. But we take it too lightly. And it is something that we need to take very seriously. When you truly confess sin, you've been convicted of that sin and you despise it, you are broken over it, and not only that, but you turn away from it. And that's what the word repentance means, is to turn 90 degrees away from. You're going this way, and you literally turn now, and you go this way. Again, it has to do with a position. What position are you in? Real confession does not just try to evade the consequences of sin. Again, we can be sorry for being caught and wanting to evade the consequences. That's often what happens in the court of law. And instead of looking at justice and getting at the truth, it is a big game of how much confusion we can create and how much we can avoid the consequences of breaking that law. And that is what has our judicial system has reduced to, because we have removed the absolutes of the truth of God's word. Amen? So you do not need to justify or excuse sin. You must accept responsibility for your sin. Okay? I have been both amused and amazed at how Bill Clinton tried to deal with his sin. And I know that was a long time ago, but that's who I thought of. He called it a mistake. He called it an error. He called it poor judgment. But he never named it for what it was. And the sin was adultery, but it began with lust and it ended in a lie. So you have lying, lust, and adultery. And not one time did those words come out of his mouth. What God calls sin is not a bad habit, it is not a mistake, and it is not a weakness. It is sin. And as long as you excuse it away and say, oh, it's just a bad habit, or oh, this, or oh, no one will know, or oh, because it does not put you in a place of being transformed, healed, or set free. Because if you want to be set free from the sin, then you have got to be willing to live with the truth of God's word. If you're going to deal with sin properly, you must do two things. First, you must call it what it is. If it's lust, then it's lust. If it's jealousy, it's jealousy. And don't fool yourself. It's there. It's in your heart. If it's bitterness, call it bitterness. If it's unforgiveness, call it unforgiveness. If it's gossip, call it gossip. How many times do we encase a prayer request, and it's really gossip because you're telling somebody else's news and rather than yourself? All right, now I'm ready for slide number 3, Barry. So the first thing is we express our failure, confess our sin. The second one is confess it when it occurs. We love to sin in retail and confess in wholesale. And what I mean by that is we wait until we go to bed at night and we say, okay, God, if I sin, you just forgive it. Just one big fat blanket. And what you need to realize is that if you said, if I have sinned, you have already lied. Okay? Because there isn't a day that doesn't go by that you have sinned or have not sinned, okay? And furthermore, we need to confess sins specifically and to confess sin instantaneously. You do not want to give an inch for deception to rule and reign in your life. We want to make sure that things are right between us and God, and we do not want to leave room for the enemy. And how many times have we been guilty to say, well, it won't hurt for just this one time? Well, nobody will know. You've heard these, haven't you? Yeah? Oh, maybe I'll get caught, or maybe I just don't care if I get caught, you know? Sin now, ask for forgiveness later. And that's sad, because we need to realize that we're sinning against God. And we do not need to make excuses. We need to make confession, which means we take ownership of it. Corrie ten Boom said, you know who Corrie ten Boom is, she said, the blood of Jesus never cleansed excuses. It cleanses our sin. And we need to remember that. And the best way to keep guilt out of your life from sinning is to go to God before Satan does. Because if you go to God and you confess, it says that he's faithful and just to forgive you. If you don't, then Satan's going to take it and hold it before him, and here comes the guilt and the shame. But if you will confess to God first, he will cleanse you. He will remove your sin from you because he says that he will, which brings me to the next slide and the third thing, and that is expect God's faithfulness. If we confess our sin, John says that God is faithful and just. Why did he give us those two characteristics and qualities of God? First of all, God is faithful to his promise. It says in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked abandon their ways and the sinful their schemes. Abandon it. That's strong language. Let them return to the Lord so that they may have mercy on them, to our God, because he is generous with his forgiveness. See, it has to do with position. Let them return to the Lord. It has to do with position in order to receive the blessings and the mercies of God. And God is a covenant-keeping God, and he is in covenant relationship with his children, and he cannot break his word. And it says in Deuteronomy 7:9, know now then that the Lord your God is the only true God. Excuse me. He is the faithful God who keeps the covenant and proves loyal to everyone who loves him and keeps his commandments. Not only is God faithful to his promise, but he is also faithful to his purpose. Because the moment that Jesus Christ, he sent his son into this world to die upon this cross, it enabled us for our sins to be forgiven. God is a holy and a righteous God, and he's a merciful God, and he desires to forgive us, but the only way that can happen is through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so we sin, but God can't tolerate sin because he's a holy God and he's a just God. But in order to receive that forgiveness, you've got to have the blood of Jesus, that sacrifice. Jesus Christ is that place, that position. He is that sacrifice for our sin. How could God be faithful and forgive us of our sin and then also be a just God? He did it by sending his son Jesus. Romans 3:25-26 says this. Through his faithfulness, God displayed Jesus as the place of sacrifice, where mercy is found by means of his blood. See, that's very key. Mercy is found by means of his blood. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness in passing over the sins that happened before. Remember the Passover feast? Passing over the sin during the time of God's patient tolerance. He also did this to demonstrate that he is righteous in the present time and to treat the one who has faith in Jesus as righteous. So we are treated by God as righteousness because of the blood of Jesus. But in order to have that, you have to be in the right position. Okay? When you take your sins to the cross of Calvary, God must forgive you. And if he didn't, he would dishonor his son and he would dishonor the sacrifice. And God won't do that. You do not have to beg for God to forgive you. If you honestly come and repent and confess your sin, God will keep his word and he will totally and joyfully forgive you. And by the way, the word faithful, it says that God is faithful and just. The word faithful literally means every time. Every time. If a man is faithful to his wife 364 days of the year, he's not faithful. It's 365 days, by the way. Okay? Faithful every time. How many of you have confessed sin, and when you confessed it, you just didn't feel clean? You just wasn't sure. You need to remember this. Your forgiveness is dependent upon God and not how you feel. You express your failure. You tell God your sin and expect God's faithfulness, because he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fifth slide, number four. Experience God's forgiveness. What is God faithful and just to do? He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us, to cleanse us from our sin and all of our unrighteousness. When we confess our sin, God pardons and God purifies. And the Bible says that God cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. You know why it says east and west? Think about the world. All right, if you go east and west, if you're going east, you're always going to be going east. Okay? You can also turn around and you're going west, and if you're, and you know, you're always going west. It didn't say you cast your sin as far as the north is from the south. Why? Because when you're going north, it stops. And then you're going south. All right? So it's east and west, and there's a reason. Because it's eternal. And I thought that was really neat. Okay. Don't insult God by not receiving the forgiveness that he offers. Again, it's position. Are you willing to receive what God has to offer? Now, we understand why confession is so important. And as I said, it has to do with position. Listen to this. Confession puts us in a position to get our soul right with God, and it puts God in the position to get our sin removed from our soul. That's why it's important to confess. If you don't remember anything else about this sermon, this is what I want you to remember. Confession puts right with our soul with God, but it puts God in the position to get our sin removed from our soul. When we take Holy Communion, we're invited to his table, and the very first thing we say in our communion liturgy is what? We confess our sins one to another, do we not? That's why we do it. Because we're celebrating the sacrifice of Jesus' blood in and through Holy Communion. Confession does for the soul what preparing land does for a field. Think of it that way. Before a farmer sows seed, he has to work the field. He removes the rocks and the weeds and the stumps in order to get the ground ready for the seed, and the farmer knows that that seed will grow much better if the ground is prepared. Confessing our sin is an act of inviting God to walk over the heart, the field of our heart. And we say, God, there is a rock of greed in there that's really deep. I'm just greedy, greedy, greedy. Want more, more, more. Never satisfied, okay? And I can't budge it, and you can't. You cannot do it within yourself. It requires God's power, God Almighty, to do it in and through you. Excuse me. You can say, God, you see that tree of lust over there near that fence? I always see grass being greener on the other side of that fence. Therefore, I have a problem with lust. And God, I can't seem to remove it, but you can, God. And I'm confessing to you, remove that from me. Do you see the difference? Oh, yes, Lord, and I have a real dry soul over there. I confess to you, I haven't been reading your word, and I haven't been praying, and I haven't been in the community of faith, and I really don't allow the people to speak into my heart. Therefore, it's really dry right now. That's the truth, is it not? And so we do that before God, and God, through his mercy, his grace, his word, his presence, he goes in and he takes care of it, and he prepares it. Now, hear this. Confession doesn't seek amnesty from God. It seeks forgiveness from God. And there is a difference. Confession admits the wrong and seeks forgiveness. Amnesty denies the wrong and claims you're innocent. And there's the difference. And that is why confession must be sincere. It must be true. It must be pure. And we need to be honest with God. Amen? So I hope you realize, yes, you're a child of God. You're put in right standing when you confess that you are a sinner and Jesus saves you. But it's a point in time and it continues on. It's not a one-time occurrence. We have to retrain our minds and our hearts, and it is vitally important that we confess. And we allow the enemy to win when we let fear come in or pride, because we don't want someone else to know that we've sinned and we don't want to tell them. And here's the thing, they're right there with you because we've all sinned. But you want a good way to get over those weak areas in your life, allow yourself to be held accountable, okay? Because you don't want to give the devil a foothold. So I'm asking the worship team to come back up, and they're going to play. And while they are playing, you want to confess sin? Right here. Come up here. You don't want to come all the way up here? Let your chair, your seat be an altar for you, okay? But don't be afraid, because we all have issues of sin in our life. Amen? Did you talk back to your parents? Yeah, well, you sinned. Did you honor your wife or your husband? No, well, you sinned, okay? There's all kinds of sin going on around here. Did you lie on your taxes? Well, you sinned. And so those are things that we need to deal with. And so while they're playing, this is your opportunity for you to get it right with God. Amen?
Hear us from heaven. peace, come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation. Hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven. Sing it out like you really mean it. Hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven. Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears, come to your people. Our generation, we are your people, crying out in desperation. Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears, come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation.
If you don't have an accountability partner, get one. You want to defeat the enemy? Start confessing. You want to defeat sin in your life? Confess and get you an accountability partner, somebody that will hold you accountable. I have a clergy small group that I am accountable to. They do not let me get away with anything, okay? And I'm so thankful for that because I could tailspin really easy. I encourage you to do that. Go forth this day and defeat the enemy. Know that God loves you. Confess that sin so that we may have sweet fellowship with Him and with one another. Go forth in peace. Amen.
To rise to you when temptation.